It is good to see everyone. I invite you to take your Bibles. If you'd like to turn to the 119th Psalm, it's where we have been taking our study for the last opportunities that we've had to come together. And we want to consider the statements that were made by the psalmist, even when it goes back to the point of what he had stated in verse 9 of the 119th Psalm, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways?" And so we find that the Psalms deal with the matter of life and how individuals can respond to the Lord and what God has provided for us in reference to our salvation that is provided in Christ. And so as we look at these terms, one of the things that we want to consider deals with the fact that thought, that if words is what transfers the thought of one individual to another, and especially that within the Word of God, of what God has provided, that they are simply a vehicle upon which thought is transmitted. And so when we open up the Word of God, we're opening up God's Word of what He wants to transmit to His creation. An intelligent being communicating with an intelligent being that has the ability to reason, to understand, to learn, and to respond to that which we have learned. And so we're considering these matters of the 119th Psalm that we will be what God would have us to be. And they set forth principles, as we know in Romans 15:4, that which was the things that were written aforetime, written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. Do we have hope? And if we have hope, the question is going to be, from whence does that hope come? Does it come from our own opinions or our own thoughts? Or does it truly come from what God has revealed, that our hope can rest in God and not in man, not in ourselves or not in others? So what is the hope of our calling that we're involved in? So we ask this question of where are we going and what are we doing as far as our life is concerned and our service to the Lord. Now we're going to kind of briefly go over some of what we have considered to bring us to our point today of the 119th Psalm in some of these terms. We find that God requires that for us to do justly and to love kindness and to walk humbly with Him. That's what He would have us to do. And it's a pretty simple principles of what God has established. We find that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, of where the Lord had identified concerning the Pharisees, He told His people, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the righteousness of the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees," and that exceeding is not one that we do more than they did. It's not that type of exceeding. That our righteousness of what is rightwise, that it must come from the heart. And that's what the Lord wants, that He wants not just action, but He wants it to come from the heart, which you go back to the point of the first and great commandment, which is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Every fiber of our being is to be devoted unto that of the Lord in all that we say and all that we do. And that can be the focus of that is the standard, the moral compass, if you will, the standard by which we live. What comes first? It's that of the instruction of our God as to what is right and what is true in life. Therefore, in Romans 15:4, that great things are contained within the law, that they will give us hope, as we've already noted. And so that particular principle, that even though the law is the old law in the sense that it has passed away, it hadn't been done away with, that Christ fulfilled the law, and therefore when Paul had identified that the inspired Word of God is profitable for instruction, for teaching, for that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God didn't have to rewrite all of what is required of man in life that's contained in the law before He could deliver it to us within the law of Christ. And therefore you'll find that the apostles referred to the prophets, the Lord referred to the prophets within what they had to say, and they will be of a great benefit to us in knowing what's in the mind of God of what He would have us to do, even with those things of which that were an abomination under the law, they're an abomination today. And so we find that it has a great benefit within that which has been delivered, that we might know more about our God. And therefore, as the Apostle Paul had identified, in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he had stated concerning his life in regards to what he did, that he stated that whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do. Now the eating and drinking, that under this particular context, had to do with their idolatrous worship, with what those of what was offered unto an idol, whether it was eating or drinking. But when he puts in this phrase of whatsoever ye do, that's going to cover everything that you do, all to the glory of God. That God that will be glorified in that we have accomplished that for which we have been created. And when he has a people that he has set aside for his own purpose, and they do as they have been instructed, they will bring glory unto the Father, just like a son or a daughter will bring glory to the parents because of their conduct, their good conduct of what they had, that it is reflective of the parents in regards to how they behave. Sometimes we understand that just because, and I'll deal with this point, sometimes kids are good in spite of us, and sometimes they're bad in spite of whatever the case is. We ought to take more credit for the good than we do for the bad. So we'll put it in that regard. But they do. They will bring glory unto their parents. And that's what we have in reference to that of the will of God. That when we do as God would have us to do, that it will bring glory unto Him. So He reveals what we are to do and what we are not to do. And so we are not to be, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 identified, that we are not to do the things that they did in verse 6, of where they lusted after things that separated them from God, neither idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000, neither let us make trial of the Lord. So all of this is what Israel did when they were in the wilderness. We have an example, and the Lord said that you do not do as they did, don't murmur as they did, and it has happened to them. Now, it's the result of, not the purpose it happened, but the result of it, that these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages are come. Wherefore, verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You can't fall off of something that you're not on. And so we find that in that particular principle, we live in a society that talks about faith only, and they say, well, if anybody falls away, they weren't saved in the first place. Well, you can't fall off of something you're not on. And so that's the point. He said, you take heed lest ye fall. As Paul had indicated with the Galatians of how they would fall from their within their proper relationship before their God. Such being the case, we're looking in reference to what God requires of us, and that the Scriptures will make us complete, make the man of God complete unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So the characteristics of the law of Moses, that within the law, the Jewish literature has identified 613 mitzvot, or commandments, within the law, 248 positive, and also that of 365 on the negative side of this, of what God tells them to either do or not do. And that's what we have within the Scripture, that we find out what the Lord would have us to do. Whatever those may be, we understand it falls under this category, that as Jehovah had instructed Moses, that Jehovah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Jehovah our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as at this day. And so that preservation, we noted last week, of where Paul stated in the Thessalonian letter, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 23, when he said, and the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, set you apart entirely, that you are to be set apart, And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that deals with the matter of the entirety, is that they are to be sanctified, which is to make them holy, separate from the profane things of the unholy, and that they would complete the end and that they had been designed for, and that every fiber of their being would be what God wants it to be. And that's what we're involved in. And therefore, in Matthew 6:33, we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Is that in our forefront? Whatever we do individually, whatever we do as a family, whatever we do in the nation, whatever we do as far as the church is concerned, is it devoted to that of the Lord, of what He would have us to do? And so that's what we're considering within what God would have us to become and to do. We find that Jehovah's revelation to man consists in 119, first of all, that of the law of Jehovah. We considered these last week in verse 1, which dealt with what's referred to as the Pentateuch, or the first five books or tools or vessels through which God has instructed, the instruction, direction, the law of Moses, which is a rule laid down for guidance of an intelligent being by an intelligent being that has authority. And so this law was given to them to direct them that their God, it did not come from man, it came from a divine source. And we're reading a writing that is given, it was written by man, but its source was divine. That our God, who is spirit, He is not flesh, He is not material. Sometimes individuals say, well, you show me God and I'll believe that there's a God. The fact is, if you could show them God, He wouldn't be God, because He would be material. He's not material. And so this word of which we read and of which we understand, of which we are to study, comes from a divine source and not that of man. And so that's what God would have us to do. And that's what the law consisted of. We find that His revelation consisted of testimonies in verse 2 of the 119th Psalm. These testimonies were laws as divine testimonies or witness, always used in the plural. And one thing that we have, the testimonies bear witness as to what God has revealed concerning that which is just, right, and good for man. God testified, and that was one of the principles also in the Thessalonian letter that the Apostle Paul dealt with when he had identified in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, as he talked about how he dealt with those of Thessalonica, which tells us how a father is to deal with his children, and God is our Father, that he is the Father of our spirits. And Paul said that here's an obligation of a father in reference to his children. And he said concerning this, that as ye know, verse 11, how we dealt with each one of you as a father with his own children, exhorting you, and that's encouraging them to lead a certain type of life. This is the life you are to lead. And encouraging them, that you encourage them in that life, and testifying. Now, the testifying is the teaching of the will of God. Verse 12, to the end that ye should walk worthily of God, who calleth you into His own kingdom and glory. So what is taught for the purpose, the exhortation, the encouragement that is given, and the testifying, or the teaching, the testimonies of God, His teachings of what He would have us to know. And that He testified concerning the Lord, that when the Lord was baptized and He come up out of the water and they heard a voice that this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, and what was appeared before them was Elijah and Moses. Elijah being that of the epitome of the prophets, Moses that of the law. And here's Jesus, and God said that this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Not the prophets, not Moses, but the Lord. He is the source. He is the law giver. He was the law giver to Moses, actually, with what He did. And so the Lord testified concerning who He was. And that when the Lord was crucified and when darkness came upon the land, and the centurion who was at the foot of the cross said of a surety, this is the Son of God. And so that testimony is there. And God testifies, and He testified unto the law. And therefore the 119th Psalm that spoke of the testimonies of the Lord that are there so we can know what it is God wants us to know, and that our assurance will reside in God and not in man. And therefore we consider those testimonies. We find that these testimonies, the testimonies of Jehovah, that they are sure, they are reliable, and therefore in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, when John said that he that believeth hath the witness in him, he that believeth not God does not, that he is separated from God, that witness is there. He has the witness in him. Doesn't mean some mystical thing has happened to him, but he's had the message of what God said, and he has the witness in him that this is, we're doing what we're doing. Our obedience is unto God because of that witness. Here's what God said. And so when we open this book and we read what's in this book, that it would behoove individuals to know what the God of heaven has revealed concerning their life. And you look at the writing of Leviticus, and every one of them said, Jehovah said. All of these laws in Leviticus that this Jehovah said, if you want a section of Scripture that is from God, it's that. It's that book of Leviticus. Now, that is either so or it's not. If it's not so, the rest of it, it will just make good kindling. That's all it is. It may give you some good ways to live in life. It's profitable for this life and that which is to come. But if it did not come from the divine source, that we could have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that we could become partakers of the divine nature, if this book is not it, then we're wasting our time. Wasting our time. But God has testified and He has shown us and He has proven that this word is right and it is just and it is always right. And therefore when we turn and we have problems with life and we wonder which way to go, we need to understand that the Word of God is always right. Doesn't mean that we always like what we find, but it's always right. And we need to find out what's right in reference to it. And so we have that testimony revealed unto us. We also find that God has borne witness, that He bore witness of His Son, that Nicodemus said that no man can do these things except God be with him. And therefore He bore witness of Jesus as the Son of God. He said, this is My beloved Son. He said in Matthew 17:15, we already noted that hear ye Him and that He is truly the Son of God. And the voice from heaven that spake in John chapter 12. All of these matters are given to show the evidence of God's working among His people. Therefore, we find that His way is revealed. The way is a walk in His ways that we are to. The 119th Psalm, verse 3. Now, we noted as we began that all of these verses are going to contain the law of Jehovah, His testimonies, His way, His precepts, His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His word, His ordinances, and the word of truth. That's what the Word of God reveals. So the 119th Psalm sets forth the benefits of the law of God. Here is what the Word of God will do for you. And here's what it'll do for me. And here's what it'll do for the world. And it's the only writing upon the planet that gives man hope beyond this life. And so we find that when we look at this way, here's how we're going to walk. This is the way we're going to go. Many religions within the world, what we've talked in our study on Jeremiah, of whether it be with that of the Shinto religion or the Taoist religion or Buddhist or Confucian, whatever it is, they are a way. This is a way of life. And so this we find that the Word of God, the law of God, reveals His way, which is a road. It's used figuratively of a course of life or mode of action. What course of life are we going to choose? If we're going to choose the road that God has devised to us, it must come from His direction. You want to go to a certain place within the United States, you can get you a Rand McNally, and it has all the different roads that will get you to wherever it is you're wanting to go. And so what we have here, that our where we're wanting to go is to get out of the captivity of Satan and death into that of a blessed relationship with our Creator. And he said, I'm going to tell you how you can do that. And so anytime that you can provide individuals with the tools, here's the tools. And unless they use the tools that are given to them, they will never accomplish what they're wanting to accomplish. Well, I want to do it my way. You know? I want to use a crescent wrench to pound in the nails. You know, all it does is bend the nails and ruins a good crescent wrench. We find that in reference to it that you have to have the proper tools for the proper job. And the proper tools for our relationship to God is what He's provided through the Word. And He said, so I'm going to give you a road upon which you can travel, that you can accomplish these matters that are set before you. And this road is one that is habitual, it's constantly involved, and characteristically that it is one that will be habitual. It will be constant. It will be characteristic of our life. We are who we are today because of the choices that we made in life, good or bad. We made choices. And whatever choices they were, we began to implement them into our lives. And therefore, it became a habit within what we did. And those habits build character. And that character is thereby manifested. And it doesn't take long that when you hear an individual speak, you can get an idea of what their character is by the terms they use or how they use them or whatever the case is, because that which proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. And so the Lord would have us to develop a character that will bring forth that which will bring Him glory. And therefore this way of life is one that's habitual. It's not one that we just pick up every now and again. There's a phrase that's utilized about in some regards where they refer to God as a pocketbook God. A back pocket God. That way they carry it in their back pocket, and then when they need a problem they'll open it up and see what they can find. But their life is not devoted to the Lord. We must have this written upon our hearts. And that's what David had identified concerning his relationship with the Lord. In verse 13 of the 119th Psalm, he said, with my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the ways of thy testimony. He said that he would utter them. In verse 11, thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Where did he lay it up? How did he keep from sinning against Jehovah? He had taken the words that Jehovah had revealed and he laid them up in his heart. That was his moral compass. That was his standard. That before he did what he did in reference to the kingdom, now he in his personal life, he was not really a great father. He never told his children no, and as a result of it, they ended up doing the things that ended their life. Right? We find that he had an eye for the women, and that caused him problems. But when it came to the kingdom, he laid up those things concerning what God had revealed, and he is thereby referred to as a man after God's own heart. And he said, I've laid them up that I not sin against you. And he would not have in his counsel those that were abhorred before God. He would not have evil men in his counsel with what he did. And so he was directed in that area. And we find that he says that he did this that he might not sin against God. Hosea identified in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9 concerning this way of how individuals should walk in them. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9 of where Hosea had revealed, who is wise that he may understand these things? Prudent, that he may know them. For the ways of Jehovah are right, and the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall therein. If we are right, if we are righteous, we will walk in the laws of God. And if we do not walk in the laws of God, we are transgressors. And therefore, we shall fall in that which we pursue. So he asked us the question, as he did to his readers, who is wise, that he may understand these things, prudent, that he may know them. For the ways of Jehovah are right. And we need to make that approach. You'll find a lot of times within arguments, if you will, or discussions that individuals have, we always have a what if or what about. You know, the Lord says, told them not to work, to any servile work on the Sabbath day. Well, what if I need fire? Wouldn't God want me to be warm? God's word is always right. And they had an individual that went out on the Sabbath that he gathered sticks. And he brought them in. And that man was put to death because of what he did. Because God indicated they were not to do that on the Sabbath. Didn't have to say sticks or whatever the case is. But he violated the laws of God. God's word is always right. And when we go back to that, no matter what an individual says, he that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Well, what about the guy that's walking down the aisle on his way to be baptized and he dies? Is he saved or lost? God's word is always right. Baptism accomplishes the forgiveness of sin. That's our obligation in reference to doing what is right. Here's what God said. And if we go trying to argue with the world based upon worldly understanding and worldly knowledge, we're not going to come out real good on it. There was a debate that was done years ago, and the 2 men, it was on the faith-only doctrine, the importance of baptism. And one of the individuals, the one that was supporting what the Scriptures had to say in regard to baptism, didn't show up. Something happened that he couldn't make it. So they're waiting there, and then of course the other guy said, well, he just knew he couldn't stand it. And one of the guys said, I can do this. So the guy gets up there. This is a real event that transpired, and he gives his 20-30 minute dissertation on why baptism was not essential. And he sat down. The other fellow got up, turned over to Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And he set out. Fellow got up again and he did his 20-30 minute dissertation as to why baptism wasn't essential. He sat down, the guy got up, turned over to Mark. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And he set out. God's word is always right. And that's what we find that Hosea understood, of which we ought to understand, that if he is right, and we are to walk in them. Why is it essential? Because God said so. And God is always right. And therefore, when we walk in his ways, we will do what he said. And therefore, Jeremiah indicated in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, when Jeremiah identified, he said, thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You remember what the Lord said? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Learn of me, and you will have this. Jeremiah said that if we will take the old path, now that just doesn't just mean because they're old. Right? Because you can get some that are old, that are very old. They're paths that are very old, but they won't lead to heaven. They won't lead to a proper relationship before God. These are paths that have been proven. That's the point. They are old paths. You can get from point A to point B on this path because it has been trodden down and it has been proven. And this path that he said that we ought to ask for the old paths where is the good way and walk therein and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in them. Jeremiah dealt with the people that were so stiff-necked that they were bound determined to do what they wanted to do. As a matter of fact, after the Babylonian captivity, that Nebuchadnezzar had appointed Gildiah as governor. And there were some of the royal seed of that of David's lineage that pretty much did say it, but that was the emphasis of it, that we should have been there, not this man. We by right should have been there. He's not of that seed. Well, they killed him. And so now they're afraid that, well, Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in now because he will wipe us out because we've killed his governor. So what do we do? So they went to Jeremiah and they asked Jeremiah to pray for them before Jehovah, instructing them as to what to do. And they said, whatever he says, we'll do it. We'll do whatever he says. Now Jeremiah was reluctant about doing so to begin with, but he did. And after a period of time, 3 days I believe it was, that he came back and he said, here's what Jehovah said. Don't go to Egypt. They were afraid of the sword. They were afraid of the famine. They were afraid of the pestilence. And they said, if we stay here, that's what's going to happen. And Jeremiah comes to them and says, don't go to Egypt. They said, well, you're not speaking by the will of the Lord. They said, whatever you say, we'll do. Until what came back wasn't in accordance with what they had already preconceived in their own thoughts and in their own minds. And so they went to Egypt. And the Lord said, through Jeremiah, you will not come back. And they didn't. Every one of them died there. Now some of their descendants, I believe, came back. But they did not. And what they were afraid would happen if they stayed in Jerusalem is what happened when they went to Egypt. But the Lord said, you don't do it. Now here's the case. They said, Jeremiah, he tells them that you do what the Lord would have you to do. You walk in these paths, they are proven you do that, but they said, we will not. And people do that all the time. Hopefully we won't be one of them people, if you will. Because we have responsibilities, and that's what the Lord would have us to know. And therefore he sets forth his way, and Psalm 119 in verse 3 did so. He also identified the precepts. Here are the precepts. 119th Psalm. And verse 4, thou hast commanded us thy precepts that we should observe them diligently. Diligently. Now, if we were, you might say, well, how would you define diligence? A lot of times we don't have to define it. I don't maybe not know what its definition is, but I know it when I see it. You know, when people are diligent about what they're doing, it's that which occupies their mind, it's that which occupies their time. It's that which they have set forth within their heart to do. And the Lord identifies that through David, that he says, that I've kept thy precepts. I've done so diligently. These precepts, we need to understand these terms that we can know what it is that God expects of us. In the 19th Psalm, in verse 8, this is kind of a comparative or a consistent statements as well concerning these matters. In verse 8, he said, the precepts of Jehovah are right. Now, precepts are also mandates. Right? Now, a mandate is an authoritative command, especially a formal order from a superior court or official to an inferior one. These are precepts. These are mandates. This is what God requires. And all of these mandates of what Jehovah has given, that they are right, rejoicing the heart. I believe it's this particular term. I don't have it right now, but this particular term is one that the Jews recognize, that God doesn't give a reason for everything that he says to do. He says, do it. That's where these precepts come in. Here's a command to do it. Well, I don't understand why. Not up to you to understand why. What I'm giving you is for your good always. When Adam and Eve was in the garden and told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the midst of the garden. He didn't tell them why. He told them the consequences. He didn't tell them why. It wasn't for theirs to know why. Just don't do it. It's for your good always. Now what happens? We get back and we say, well, I don't understand. Therefore, I don't have to do. That's our conclusion. I don't understand. And because I don't understand, therefore it has no bearing upon my life.
And that's when we bring God down to our level. And when we bring God to our level, then we will begin to do what Israel did when the Lord said, "You thought that I was altogether such as one of yourself. You thought that I was like you. You thought that I would respond the way you respond. You thought that I would do what you would do. And though I haven't done anything, I will. And I'll bring this judgment upon you." Precepts are given for our good always. And they are mandates. And that's what the psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, that thou hast commanded us thy precepts, that we should walk in them. And we find that what Jehovah has mandated are not subject to the whims of men, not to be trifled with, nor indifferent toward. These are precepts. This is what God said to do. We find, and there's no greater in our... it was interesting, I read an article this morning where a response was made in regard to baptism, that when the Ethiopian had been taught by Philip concerning Jesus, he comes to water and said, "Here's water. What does hinder me?" Today in the religious world is, let's wait. It's not a matter of what does hinder me. It's what does, it'll come later. It's not important. It can be put off. What are we going to identify? The precepts of God, the mandates that He has given? Here's what I'm saying. I'm telling you how to become a citizen in the kingdom of God. They have a big debate right now as far as the immigration is concerned. And those that are here illegally. And they're having a problem rather than just saying, "Okay, everybody's all right, you just come right on in." They're having a big debate on how to make a transforming from the dreamers, those that were brought to the country of no fault of their own while they were young, of how to nationalize, if that's the right term, to do it. And it is a long, drawn-out 10-year process of what they are required to do to become a citizen of the United States, which will remove what happened in the 80s when they just did a blanket amnesty and everybody came in and now they're citizens. Future generations will be required to do the same thing, whatever it is. It's supposed to eliminate part of this. But there's a big upheaval in reference to it. You can't expect all of that out of these people for them to be law-abiding citizens. Okay, because that's one of the requirements. That you have these years, 10 years, that you haven't been convicted of a felony. Or that sort of thing. To be citizens. But what about the kingdom of God? God has a right to determine how we become citizens of the kingdom. And He does so through our hearing of the gospel, believing of the gospel, repenting of our sins, making confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of our past sins that separated us to begin with, that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. The precepts of God, what He has mandated. And that's what the psalmist has identified. And when that is mandated, we understand that within the writing of Deuteronomy, as we've already noted, that we are to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. That's what the Lord said was the first and great commandment. Do we do that? Is He the first in our life? If He's not, then we need to reconsider the road, the way, the path that we're on, and to make whatever adjustments are essential to our eternal salvation. Right? We're going to stop there. Lord willing, tonight we'll look in reference to the matter of the statutes in what God would have us to do. And we'll continue this study of the 119th Psalm. It's good to see everyone this morning. We hope that the information will be to your furtherance. In